Class. Class of 89.
Please let him get me. Please, God.
Thanks for tuning in to Class of 89 on the Fangoria Podcast Network, where we take you behind the scenes of our favorite movies that turned 30 this year. I'm Natasha Pasetta, your host and vanguard of The Vault over here at Fangoria, and this is our series on Halloween 5, The Revenge of Michael Myers. And our first guest is Danielle Harris, who of course plays Jamie Lloyd. Danielle talks about her recent role in Quentin Tarantino's Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, why Donald Pleasance let her use his trailer on the set of Halloween 5, taking on Geraldo Rivera with Tony Timpone, and much more. Before we get to Danielle's stories, I want to tell you about Fangoria Magazine. Fangoria Magazine has never been better. With your subscription, you'll get a full year of the deluxe 100-page quarterly edition shipped straight to your door. You'll see familiar names like Fango veterans Michael Gingold and Tony Timpone, and bylines like Barbara Crampton and S. Craig Zahler. Go to Fangoria.com and use the promo code CLASSOF for 15% off your first year of rights. That's Fangoria.com, promo code CLASSOF. And I want to tell you about Crawl. Jump into the feeding frenzy and buy Crawl today on Blu-ray and digital. Producer Sam Raimi, the horror mastermind behind Don't Breathe and the Evil Dead movies, teams up with director Alexander Aja of The Hills Have Eyes to bring you this year's most intense horror film. Certified fresh on Rotten Tomatoes, sink your teeth into over 45 minutes of terrifying bonus content, including an all-new motion comic of the film's alternate opening. You'll never want to get back in the water ever again after you watch this movie. Get Crawl today on Blu-ray and digital. Rated R from Paramount Pictures. And I want to tell you about Fright Rags. Fright Rags is the premier place for horror apparel and accessories from all your favorite creature features, slasher flicks, and cult classics. Now in their 16th year, Fright Rags has officially licensed products from over 50 films, releasing new collections every week featuring artwork from top industry artists, professionally screen printed on super soft ring-spun cotton shirts. Basically, my entire closet is just Fright Rags shirts. New this week, Fright Rags celebrates the 30th anniversary of Halloween 5, The Revenge of Michael Myers, with two brand new shirts, also available in women's, hoodies, and baseball tees. Listeners get 10% off your first order. Head on over to Fright-Rags.com and enter code FANGO40 at checkout to activate your discount. That's Fright-Rags.com. Now let's get to Danielle's stories from her time working on Halloween 5, The Revenge of Michael Myers. So Danielle, you are such an important person in the Halloween legacy. You portray Jamie Lloyd in Halloween 4 and 5, and also Annie Brackett in Rob Zombie's Halloween and Halloween 2. But because this podcast is called Class of 89, we're going to focus on Halloween 5, obviously. But before we get into that movie, I just saw that you were in Quentin Tarantino's Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Can you tell us a little bit about what that was like?
Amazing. To be expected. You know, so for many years, I've been wanting to work with Quentin. We're old friends, and I basically found out he was doing a movie, and I knew that the Manson family was going to be part of it, and I didn't exactly know to what extent, and I just took a shot and sent him an email saying, I hear you're doing this movie, and I don't know anything about it, but I would love to be part of it, blah, blah, blah. I didn't hear anything back for a couple months, and I started seeing they were adding more people to it, and I was like, oh my God, this is a really big deal, and I shot him one more email, didn't hear anything, and I was like, okay, I'm not going to be that person. And then I was 5 months pregnant and on vacation and got a call from my agent saying that I had a work session audition with Quentin for his new movie. I was like, oh my God, of course. A, I'm on vacation. I'm not in the state, which I never take a vacation. And B, I'm super pregnant. So I don't need, like, what are the odds, you know?
Oh my God.
So I know. So I shot him back an email saying, oh my God, I love you. I would do anything to be part of this, but I'm barefoot and pregnant. And I obviously think that's going to be an issue, but you know, there were pregnant girls in the Manson family, remember?
This is true.
So then didn't hear anything, and then like a week later I got back in town and casting called and said, come in and sign an NDA and we're going to bring you into audition. So I waited, I signed the NDA, didn't get a script, was waiting, didn't hear anything, and then randomly they just called and said, okay, he's going to write you something because you're pregnant. So I was like, okay, cool. So I you know, I didn't have my shooting dates yet. And then I said, okay, I'm scheduled to deliver on October 3rd. And they literally booked me for 2 weeks. And the last day that I was supposed to work was October 2nd.
Oh my gosh.
So,
Danielle.
I pushed it. But you know, it's Clinton. Like, you can't say no, right?
Yeah, no. You would probably, I don't know, I would probably, like, birth the baby on set if it came down to it.
Well, everybody kept saying, like, oh my God, what an amazing story that would be if you, like, gave birth while you were filming. And I was like, you know what? Let's just not have that story. I'm super okay, like, not having that story to tell. You know, and also playing one of the Manson girls, like, I was filthy. I was not allowed to do my, you know, my hair, my nails, my eyebrows, and that, like, we were just covered in dirt, and, you know, it was the real deal. So I thought, oh God, if I go into labor and I have to go to Cedar Sinai looking like I'm homeless, I'm going to be really embarrassed to give birth to my baby looking like this. They're going to be like, who is this girl? And I'm going to have to say, no, no, it's fake. I'm working on a movie. But because I signed an NDA, I wasn't allowed to say anything about it or anything. So I don't know how I would have gotten around that one.
Oh my God.
So I was there for like 2 weeks, and, you know, he was still trying to write stuff for me, find things for me. And he's so great. Even though I only had a very, very small part, he kept saying, you know, you're a really important part of this and I appreciate you. And just to be on set and see how he worked was, I told him I would have done craft service. Like, I don't care. I just wanted to do something with him. And then seeing it, I was like, wow, okay. Cause I never got a script. So I had no idea what the movie was about. I didn't know.
Oh yeah.
I literally was like, wow, this is freaking amazing. So it was really cool to go to the screening and to see what we were actually doing. It was pretty awesome.
Oh my gosh, that is such an amazing story. That is so cool.
And you're the
cool.
first one that I'm telling it to. No one's asked me about it yet because I didn't post anything until it came out. So it's a little surprise for the fans if anyone recognizes me.
Nice, there you go. I'm sure our audience will zero in on you immediately because they love you. So that's so cool. Wow, yeah. I haven't seen the movie yet, so I'm really excited now to see it. Really cool story. All right, so that's the big news. Let's go all the way back 30 years and talk about Halloween 5.
All right, let's do it.
So in 4, you know, we're left with the idea that Jamie has somehow possessed the evil qualities of her uncle, Michael Myers. And, you know, she's on track to become, you know, the next serial killer.
Yeah.
But 5, it kind of just stops that right in the tracks. How did you feel about Jamie becoming a sympathetic character instead of progressing down her uncle's legacy?
I think that we were a little bit ahead of our time. You know, I think that nowadays they would have allowed that child to become a killer. I don't think that they were maybe ready for it back then. Mm-hmm. You know, it was kind of just starting to be creepy kid stuff. So I was a little surprised that that wasn't going to happen, but you know, I was 11. So at 11, you're like, I was like, oh, wow, I get to learn sign language. Oh, cool. I'm mute. Wait, what's mute mean? Like, you know, I mean, I really didn't have any idea what really was going on. And just trying to like learn how to, oh, I'm screaming, but no noise is coming out. You know, like there were things that I thought was really interesting and fun to get to play and do. But as an adult looking back on the movie and trying to sort of figure out, you know, what happened, it definitely was a bit shocking that it didn't continue. Because I thought Halloween 4 was so true to the tone of the Halloween franchise. And then 5 kind of came in and turned it on its head. I think if it were a movie outside of being part of the Halloween movies, it is an awesome movie. I think following 4 was such a hard act to follow that it didn't get the credit that maybe it deserved. And a lot of things were like kind of happening all over the place with Halloween 5 too. So I was a little bummed that it didn't continue that way. But maybe they weren't ready for child killers. I don't know.
I agree with you. Like maybe if it wasn't part of that universe, it would have worked better and people would have appreciated it a little more than they did.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, and what would have really happened? Like, if we can go back and redo it, like, what's the reality? Like, would I mean, it'd be like twins, you know? Like, right. Am I the Danny DeVito? Like, would it be really weird for, like, this grown adult to be have a child in tow and they're killing people. I mean, it's a bit far fetched, you know.
Yeah, I think you're right. I definitely think you're right. Now I have this image of Danny DeVito on Halloween. Amazing. So you said that being mute was interesting and fun for you as like an 11-year-old, like a challenge. So that's great. Like if I were a child actor at that time, I'd be like, oh man, I don't have any lines. Like what the heck?
You know, even back then, like I'm always the actress on set that's like, you want to cut dialogue? I'll let mine go. Like I don't ever want to say anything. So I am not the actress that needs the monologues. That's for sure. The less I have to say, the better off I am. I just think it doesn't need to be said. Show it, you know, show it, don't say it. So I'm always for not having any dialogue. That's for sure. So I was okay with it.
That's awesome to hear. And plus, like your emotions are so raw. Like as an 11-year-old, like whenever I watch 4 and 5, I am completely in denial that your character, Jamie Lloyd, is like a little kid acting. You know, your emotions are just so like honest looking and just raw. How as an 11-year-old did you like pull that out of yourself?
You know, I don't know, but unfortunately my 2-year-old has that ability as well.
Oh no.
Which he will not be an actor, but I was like, whoa, okay. So it must be in the genes somewhere. There were no actors in my family, but there were artists. You know, my grandpa was an artist. My cousin, my uncle, they're all artists. So there's definitely that creative side, but my son for sure has a flair. Let's just say it's a flair for the dramatic. I mean, I will believe him and really think that he's hurt or crying, and I'll give him a side eye, and he starts laughing. I'm like, I don't have real tears. I'm like, wow, real tears? And you're faking it? Like, that's unbelievable. So he's definitely mom. He's definitely my offspring, that's for sure.
Yeah, sounds like it runs in the family.
Yeah, I'm great.
Your performance in both of the movies is really great, and you work so well with the adult actors on set. I mean, Donald Pleasance, that was the second time you had worked with him. What was it like working on 5, and do you have like a favorite memory of Donald from working on Revenge of Michael Myers?
You know, it was just nice to have, I didn't have much with him in Halloween 4, you know, I just sort of knew him from like me seeing stuff of him on set, but I didn't have a lot of scenes with him. So I definitely had some really good one-on-one stuff, with him in Halloween 5. So I've got great memories of, you know, he was quiet and kind of did his thing, and he didn't have much to talk about, obviously, but he was really generous and kind. And I always tell the story that I was really excited that when he was done, he made sure that they kept the big trailer that he had for me, because he had said that I was the star of the movie. Aww. And they kept this big trailer, and I was so excited as a kid to have like a kitchen and a bedroom. And, you know, he made me feel really special.
Oh, that's so nice. We all miss Donald, and forever will be Dr. Loomis. So
that's
really cool to know. And you know, you also worked with Don Shanks, who played Michael Myers. And
yeah.
What was that like?
Oh, I love Don. Don's like, you know, so interesting. All the guys that play these, you know, serial killers are like the nicest, sweetest, kindest men. I don't know how they get cast as these guys. It's just crazy to me. He's just one of a kind. He's lovely and sweet and wonderful. And I still, you know, see him at conventions and talk to him. And he's like my uncle, you know? I mean, there's no other way to put it.
Oh, yeah, I know. It's like a thing. Like all these guys who play like Jason and Michael, just like the nicest guys ever. Like they really
are. They're like all my friends and like look out for me. They're like my big brothers.
Well, let's talk about the special effects on 5. Now the K&B effects guys did the special effects. Greg Nicotero, Howard Berger, Bob Kurtzman. Did you get a chance to kind of hang out with them and see how they were doing things on set?
Oh yeah, I mean Greg, I still talk to. Greg became like, I used to call him dad. Like he became my surrogate dad. I mean, aww, he took me driving for the first time. So
wow.
I stayed close to Greg in his giant Cadillac Coupe de Ville convertible. Like, I mean, crazy, right? I was like in the field, 4'11", trying to drive this giant car.
That is awesome.
Yeah, he I mean, I was always on set trying to learn and in the trailer, and I always thought it was really cool. And I was definitely, I used to cut, everybody used to let me cut their hair. I still think of that, like, wait, what? That's so what? Weird. But I'd go to the makeup trailer, and I know, right? And they'd let me, like, cut their hair and do weird things. I don't know. It's so odd. I just love to, like, play and be creative. And I was definitely treated like an adult. I mean, I didn't, everybody took care of me and protected me, but I was not treated like, you know, a 10-year-old, that's for sure.
Wow. It seems like that's the right way to do it. You know, sometimes child actors are often, like, you know, protected too much from what's going on in a movie and, like, kind of isolated right. from everything. But it really sounds like you got an education on Five, especially if Greg Nicotero taught you how to drive.
Yes, for sure. And he didn't teach me until I was like 15. So just not while we were on set.
Yeah, that probably would be a bit early to learn how to drive. I was watching the making of documentary on Five. It's one of the extras on one of the DVDs, and it really looked like you guys had so much fun on set, like the parties, and you're right, it looked like everyone, you know, just got along. It didn't really matter, like, the age differences. It just seemed like a great time. Was that, you know, a common thing on set?
I mean, I think that's what's so great about genre movies, that, like, you're working these crazy hours, and you have to really love it to be a part of it. And I think everybody that was there loved it, and it was the 80s. You know, like, things are just different. It was 1989. I mean, it was just different back then than it is now. People are so most people are very antisocial now. So it's cool to go on location when you're on location and you've just got each other. Like, I just got back from Scotland doing a movie, and it was kind of the same thing where everyone is from other places and they're all kind of living together, and you make that your family, even though it's, you know, 3 or 4 weeks. It really does. The relationship progresses really fast. And I've got so many albums from Halloween 5 of the parties that we had, and, you know, the fun things that we would do. We would all spend time together on on our days off, and it was just a great time.
Let's talk about Geraldo Rivera for a second.
Yeah.
So you actually went on the Geraldo show, and former Fangoria editor and current contributor Tony Timpone was there with you, actually. And you guys, you were promoting Halloween 5, and you absolutely slayed all of the adults on the show. You just killed it and just annihilated any horror denier in the audience. Just absolutely killed them. Can you talk a little bit about what that day was like and what that taping was like?
I think I was always just a really outspoken kid. You know, I think that I was pretty fearless. I mean, I still kind of feel that way, and I still stand by what I thought. And I think I was just a little surprised that, I guess I just went into it not like I was watching Geraldo, you know, at home as a child. So I think I just went into it thinking, be really weird, right? I just went into it thinking that I was going to, you know, talk about the movie and everybody was going to love it like I did, and it was going to be fun. And I think I was just sort of thrown off that people were talking bad about something that I loved so much. So I was feeling a little defensive, I'm more immature now than I was then, that's for sure. So I was like a little 40-year-old in that body, but I still stand by what I said. I mean, I don't know. I mean, there's a lot worse shit going on in the news than in real life than there is in these movies nowadays. So.
Oh, absolutely. And it was just amazing to, like, you could see it in your face in that interview. Like, you were like, no, I am not going to, like, have this nonsense from these adults saying horror movies are bad for kids in general, are bad for everyone because they, like, promote violence. And then little, like, 11-year-old Daniel Harris, you're like, do you guys watch the news?
Yeah, hello. Because I was pretty sure that there were, like, real scary things and real murders and horrible things happening on my TV that wasn't fake, you know? It was just very confusing for me.
Yeah, and I love that Tony was there, too, and Tony was backing you up. And you know, it's the same thing that we got from, you know, critics in the 80s and 90s about Fangoria. You know, you're promoting violence.
Right.
You've got gore on your covers. And it's like, we're actually, you know, making it really in your face that all of this is fake. Like, that's what,
yeah, exactly.
That's the intent of Fangoria Magazine, is to let you know that all of this is pretend.
Right. Yeah. Hello. Exactly. This is what the pictures look like. This is how it's done. Here's the story behind it. So it takes away the reality, you know?
Yeah. So, I mean, you're such a rock star in that moment. And thank you for being the voice of reason in a room full of adults who have no idea what you're talking about.
And so in life, most of the time,
yeah,
you know?
It's so true. It's so true. So the Halloween franchise continues its march on. Halloween Kills and Halloween Ends was recently announced. As part of the legacy of Halloween, what do you think of the future of the franchise and where it's going?
It's kind of like the Rolling Stones tour. Like, everybody keeps talking about how they're never going to go on tour again. So you fly somewhere far and you spend so much money because you're afraid you're never going to see it again. And that's all everybody talks about. And then they come back a year later.
Yeah.
So I kind of feel like that's sort of what's happening, you know?
Yeah.
And when everyone said, oh, it's the last one, you're like, okay.
Yeah, okay. I'll believe it when I see it.
When they stop making, you know, when there stops being a profit in it, then maybe they'll stop making it. But I don't want to see it end. I mean, nobody wants to see it end. As long as they're good movies, like, go for it. I mean, I'm all about continuing to see it, whether I'm in it or not. I mean, you know, I don't know. I was totally joking online a couple weeks ago about, like, we should start a petition and bring Jamie back. And then everybody started, like, thinking that I was being serious. So I was like, wait, I don't even know how to start a petition. Like, what does that even mean, you know? How do you even do that? And, like, who cares? Who would care? Who am I going to send it to? Like, they don't care, people. So, but I love that the fans care. I mean, that's really what matters. I mean, I do get a little confused because it's like Jamie is her daughter, but then I guess Josh Hartnett was her son, too. But then my mom died, you know, Jamie died in a car accident, but in Halloween 4, Lori, yeah. Whatever. You know, so it's like, really nothing makes sense. So everyone's like, oh, you wouldn't come back because of the storyline in the last Halloween, which I didn't actually see the last Halloween yet, but I'm going to. So I don't know. I just feel like it'd be really cool for the fans and for me, really, just to give me, like, one scene. I'm not trying to, like, listen, I'm fine. I work all the time.
Yes.
It's all good. Like, I'm not like, I need a job. Like, I'm all good. But it would just be really cool just to have, like, a moment of screen time for the fans and for me to be part of the Halloween, just to have Jamie be part. Because, like, it wasn't me that died. Like, you know, J.C. Brandy played me in 6,
right.
Kind of, you know, killed off Jamie in a horrible way. And I think I just would love that, you know, that 15 seconds to have just that little bit of closure for her, for me.
Yeah.
And then we could move on. I don't know if because I was Annie and I came back, it kind of hurt it, or, you know, or there really just is no interest. I mean, maybe it's kind of like how I was as a kid when the adults really weren't making sense. It's kind of how I feel about studios sometimes, where they don't really know what the fans want to see.
Yes.
And if it doesn't matter if I'm in it, it just makes it better. If I'm not in it, they're still going to see it. But if I'm in it, it just makes it that much cooler if you bring Jamie back. Like, it's not, it's here nor there, you know? So, I don't know. It's very frustrating, but I don't know if anyone really sees the benefit of that. I just think it'd be cool to just have, listen, I could walk by Lori in a supermarket on screen and she could look at me like she thinks I'm familiar looking and I don't have to say anything. And that's all, just to have like something sort of cool would really be awesome. But I don't think that's ever going to happen. You never know, but I'm going to guess not.
I would love to see Jamie come back. Like even in like what you said, like just like a cameo, because how many, I know you haven't seen Halloween 2018 yet, but this isn't really a spoiler, but there's a ton of references in it to all of the Halloweens because, you know, everyone seems, you know, to be fans of that franchise. But
right.
Like it would be so cool for the fans to have you in the new ones. It really would. And, you know, it would, like you said, it's not going to hurt anything. It's going to add something, like if they have you in there. So I'm all for that. I'm team Jamie in any Halloween. So I have a couple more questions for you. This is the class of 89 extra credit question. And it's, if you can go back in time 30 years, what advice would you give yourself, either in regards to Halloween 5 or about life in general?
Oh, geez. Yeah, I would say don't date the alcoholics. I don't know.
Good idea.
You know, everyone, you have to kiss a lot of toes before you find your prince. So I got married a little bit later and had kids later. And I would just tell my younger self, just hold out till you meet the right one. Don't think that you're going to, you know, don't stress out. It's like I see kids now in high school and college that are like freaking out about their relationships and all the social media stuff. And it's like, none of this is going to matter in 20 years. It really isn't. Nobody really cares. And whatever you see that people are doing on social media isn't real anyway. Just like the movies, people. Shit is not fucking real. So yes. Just live your life, and it's all about the simple thing.
You're so right. Don't sweat the small stuff when you're young, and you'll figure it out, and just don't stress over those crazy things. And you know, yeah, if your boyfriend's an alcoholic, probably not a good idea to be around him. So yeah,
that's right.
I'd love if you could tell us, you know, what projects you're excited about working on right now. I know you mentioned that you just got done filming something in Scotland. That's cool.
I did, yeah. Redwood Massacre, Annihilation. So, I mean, I had always wanted to go to Scotland, and it was just absolutely unbelievable. And that the character that I played is really similar in tone to Mary Beth and Hatchet. So I love those. Ah. I love those girls. And I haven't been in that role in a long time because I've been barefoot and pregnant for the last couple of years. Yeah. So it's nice to kind of like get back in. And I had some really, really cool. I posted some of my fight stuff. I couldn't post too much, but I posted some of my fight stuff and on screen, on, you know, my social media. And I just had a really great time. You know, they're such lovely, kind people. And I thought it was really fun. And you know, I love traveling, and to be able to just go like live in Aberdeen, Scotland for a month was just beyond. So I was
awesome.
Stoked about that. And right now I'm just working hard with Joe Dante, actually, trying to find a project for me to direct. So,
oh my God, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Is it Gremlins 3?
Oh yeah, I fucking wish. No, I honestly would not even dare, because, you know, Gremlins is my jam, so I would never, I would be too freaked out to even be on set with them.
Girl, Gremlins is my jam too. It's one of my favorite movies is not actually Gremlins, but it's Gremlins 2, The New Batch, which is incredible.
Yep. Yeah, incredible. I mean, it still scares me. The movie still scares me. I watched it because it was the first horror movie I ever saw was Gremlins, and I was thought at the drive-in, and it destroyed me. And then I think I saw Piranha on TV shortly thereafter, and that's why I have a fear of fish. So Joe just like really screwed with my head. These are movies I should not have been watching. So to get to work with him, and I did a movie last year called Camp Coldbrook that he produced.
Yes.
And that's hopefully going to find its home very soon. It's really fun and really great. And I worked with Joe back on an episode of Eerie, Indiana, like in the early 90s. So, so I was always like, oh my God, I love him. And then came back around for him to produce this movie. And then we, you know, have this love affair, and I just like gush over him. And he just said, you know, I know you want to direct and I want to find you something. So we've kind of gone through a couple different things, and I'm pretty sure that the most recent thing that I read last week is the one that we're going to go forward with. And I'm very excited about it. So let's just keep our fingers crossed and hope that by the end of the year, I will be in the director's seat with him as my mentor.
Oh my gosh. I just got chills. I'm so excited for you.
Let me see.
Thanks for listening to Fangoria Presents Class of 89. If you've enjoyed this podcast, please rate, review, and subscribe on iTunes or on your favorite podcast app. And follow Fangoria on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram for the horror content you crave. Class Class of 89 is a Fangoria Podcast Network original, produced and hosted by Natasha Pacetta, executive producers Dallas Saunier and Phil Nobile Jr., associate producer Jessica Safa-Vimer, art and design by Ashley Detmering, sound recording, design, and mixing by Natasha Pacetta, music by James Malone, for Fangoria, Brandon Winardi, Jason Koslerich, Rachel Wilson, and special thanks to Udo Kier.